We consider now the truth of the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. When the Catechism explains this, what is the fourth petition? It gives this answer, give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee as to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry, nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing, and therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. We want to ground our teaching of the doctrine of the Church in the Word of God, of course, and so we would turn at this time to 1 Peter in chapter 2, the very chapter we've been studying in our Bible study, and want to apply it now to the truth of the Lord's Prayer at this petition, give us this day our daily bread. 1 Peter 2, we'll read the first 10 verses. Hear God speak to us and ground us in the truths of His Word. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore it is also contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Thus far we read the Word of God at 1 Peter chapter 2. When we come to the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, we could be tempted to think that we are going from the sublime and the heavenly to the mundane, the earthly, the common, something that does not fit in the Lord's Prayer or the disciples' prayer. After all, we've begun in heaven by calling upon our Father who art in heaven. That's where Jesus has led us. And we have prayed what we all know we ought to pray first, Hallowed be your name. And then we prayed, Your kingdom come, and then your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Everything heavenly about these things, everything selfless and God glorifying that you would expect from a people that is the people of God. And yet, here we come to the fourth petition where Jesus, as it were, goes from heaven to earth and says, You are to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Have we left heaven? Have we left heaven for this earth? Are we here marked by something that seems so inappropriate to us on this earth? That's the question we want to deal with at this time. And of course, the first thing we would answer is that, of course, we haven't left heaven, and this petition is not somehow less than the others, because Jesus said, you ought to pray, give us this day our daily bread. But then there's something else. And there's something else, I believe, is brought out in the text that we would commend to your attention as a grounding of our understanding of the fourth petition, 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter is all about the fact that we have two births. We're born, and we're in this world, therefore, and we need daily bread, but we're also born again. So we taste bread, but also we're those who have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So there's something about our life that's more than bread, and we're reminded of this as we consider the truth that Peter would speak of our being born again. Besides that, Peter speaks of our having two homes, of our having a hope in heaven, and also of the fact that we are two nations. That is, we belong to two nations, the one on the earth, for us, America, and also the nation of the people of God. There's something to that that speaks to that reality of bread and the necessity that we pray for it spiritually and with God-glorifying motivation as we pray the fourth petition. So we want to consider the fourth petition under the theme of a sermon that I would say to you is for bread and for grace at the same time. First of all, we pray for bread and grace in the fourth petition so that we can lead a life dependent on God. Then secondly, we pray for bread and grace that we can lead a life with God. And finally, we pray for bread and grace that we can live a life unto God. The petition, the idea of the petition, is that we are to consider our earthly needs and that God provides for them. As we are hallowing the name of God and praying that His kingdom would come and that His will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're to pray for earthly bread. There's something about our spiritual existence that's wrapped up to our being those who are on the earth and also praying for earthly bread. The Catechism reminds us, indeed, that daily bread is indeed earthly bread. We're to pray for all things necessary for the body. Some have said in the history of the church that this petition for bread is really something that is spiritual bread. It's a substance that we're to pray for of bread, which is the manna, like the manna from heaven, and that would promote the life of the soul. The early monks and translators of this text in the Latin were those who thought that it was a kind of bread that was super substantialis, above normal substance. And so we had this tradition in the church that said that we live and we're not of this world, so we can't be so concerned with bread. We have to be aloof even from the earthly things and certainly not pray for daily bread, earthly stuff. That's for those who are pagans. Well, the fact is, Jesus Christ came to the earth. That's how I'd respond to this idea that it's spiritual not to be concerned with bread, earthly bread. If we were not concerned with bread and earthly bread, how could it be that Jesus was concerned to come in the flesh? I rest my case on the incarnation that Jesus was concerned to redeem flesh and blood and soul by coming into the flesh and dying in the flesh, so that we might live in this life and yet not above it. So there's nothing wrong with being in this world, even though we're not of it, and even praying for bread, eating and drinking bread or caviar or whatever have you. We are to pray for real bread and that God would take care, therefore, of our real earthly needs. This is spirituality at its highest. There's not a dualism, you see, in Christianity, that the spiritual is other earthly and anti-body and against marriage and all of these things. But the spirituality of the Bible is incarnation, God with us in the flesh, lifting us to heights of spirituality, to be sure, but in the flesh. And so that it's not an insignificant thing that there is a resurrection of the body. The very same body in which we lived, yet glorified, will be taken to heaven, transformed to a life there. Meanwhile, we live and we have needs. We're to pray in this prayer for all necessities. Bread stands for food and of all sorts, clothing and shelter, protection, and whatever thing is necessary. It is just bread, after all. We're not to be praying for luxuries and things that are something that we don't necessarily need. We may be those who seek to have something we don't necessarily need, but Jesus wants us to pray only for the things we need. That's important, so that our focus in this life is not on and you know, if thinking that we're on a divine mission to get rich, for example, or to have not only one mansion, but two, not only one boat, but two. So we say, give us this day our daily Lamborghini or something like that. Jesus keeps us grounded as he would keep us all on the ground with heaven in mind and a home that's far more than earth can afford. And so that's the idea of daily bread. With this would be, therefore, all that we need in this life. Daily church needs, daily business needs, daily work, all the things that go into our life and that we need. We need friends. You pray for daily friends. You pray that God would provide for the church, office bearers, would provide for the church members, would provide for the needs of the members. You pray for healing. You pray for all that you need in the body. You pray also for the means that God uses for these things. We pray, this is involved in this prayer, for daily sunshine, or just enough sunshine, or just enough rain. You pray for the means of the farmers and for the blessing of God upon their labors so that they can be those who bring the food into the stores and so on, and we can have these places where we can provide for our needs and the needs of our families. This is very important. And also is the fact that Jesus says you are to pray for daily bread. Bread just for the day. Not just bread and then maybe a week's stock supply. And isn't it the case we have more than a day's worth of bread in our homes? Sometimes I think this is to our shames, but Jesus is not limiting us to providing when there's a good deal at Costco or something like that, or to providing, he's not prohibiting us from having a 401k or being a church that pays for the minister's 401k. But he is saying, where's your heart? Is your heart on the day-to-day living? Or are you so wrapped up in cares and anxieties and wondering and worrying about tomorrow and you're stockpiling? Rather, he says, pray just for the day's needs. He's preventing us, you see here in this wonderful prayer, this very simple but wonderful prayer, from worry and from thinking about tomorrow and the evils thereof, as he says in the Sermon on the Mount. And that's the idea of this prayer. We are to pray for these things to God. Even though we have these things, and we have them in our cupboard, we may have the steak or the stew or the soup right in front of us in our bowl or on our plate. We're to pray for God to sustain us through them. Now, what the Catechism reminds us is that the daily things we receive in themselves cannot provide for even our daily life. We are to pray that God would be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge God to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry, nor even thy gifts, can profit us without thy blessing. And so that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. Here is the Christian doctrine of providence. God provides. God provides health and strength. We don't. We don't, even though we may work hard on the farm, bring in the bacon, as it were, bring it home, eat and drink it. We cannot provide. Amino acids and digestive juices in our bodies cannot break down things so that we live. We cannot provide by the flowing of our blood and by any other process whereby we assimilate food. God alone gives the increase. These things are just creatures. God alone is the great provider of life itself, even life on this earth. This is where the world has gone wrong. The whole world of creation has forgotten the Creator. And we have now become dependent upon the things created. And that leads to loving the things created and wanting the things created more than the Creator itself. But Jesus in this prayer provides a stopgap for these things. He says to you, children, if you're going to be children of the Father in heaven and heavenly minded. Be so on earth with an attitude and a trust in the God of heaven. Be believers in the God you don't see. And so, as you're going about your work, your business, as you're working in the kitchen to prepare a meal for your family, for yourself, and so on, remember God. We of ourselves, mere creatures, can't even do a thing to nurture ourselves. I'm telling you this. Jesus is telling you this. Believe this, beloved. Life for you is not about your eating and drinking and digesting. Not about your working out and becoming stronger all by yourself. Not about your working. Not about your doing anything. Not about your giving to the poor to feed them. It's about God. God alone was the author of life. How this is so important for the beginning of religion. The beginning of religion, the trust in God, the fear of God, the reliance on God. God alone is the creator. And he tells us, as I said, by this, not to worry, not to worry one bit about how God's going to provide. He also tells us by this to have discernment between what is necessary and what is not. Sometimes we're praying for things and really we become desperate for things we're not needing. We thought we needed this. We thought we'd need this for the church. We thought we needed this for this good cause. And God, by not giving it to us or taking it away from us, says, no, you didn't really need that. You weren't really trusting in me in this. You were pushing your own agenda. You thought this would be good for your life and for the advancement of your life and your witness and so on. And God says, hold it. Have you been praying, give us this day our daily bread? Now, of course, needs vary. And for some people, they need more, or they need different things than others. And let's be those who aren't accusatory when a person has a boat or a person has a bigger house than we do or whatever else. Each of us has to work this out. We all have to understand what is necessary for me, what is necessary for my family, what is important for me being a child of God in this world. And so we pray. We pray that God would give us this day our daily bread, and we're learning something about God and life dependent on God. That's my first point. This prayer for bread and grace is a prayer for a life dependent on God. But then there's something that we need to remember, and that is that our life is a life with God. And Jesus, who's been teaching this Lord's Prayer, which is a disciple's prayer, would have us never forget that. We are, after all, the children who pray to our Father in heaven, who pray that God's name would be hallowed, who pray that the kingdom would come, and who pray that the will of God would be done. And now we're praying for daily bread. And he's not forgotten to remind us that as we pray for daily bread and a life dependent on God, we're doing that as people who are living with God and have a life with God. And there's something very important there to remember. It's exactly this. Why we need to remember this, a life with God, is because there's a word. There's a word that God has spoken. The word that he's spoken into all this world since the fall, and the word is death. The word is curse. The word is condemnation to all of those who have turned from God, all in Adam. That's the word that God speaks in all this world. The wrath of God through his word of condemnation is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth under in unrighteousness. And this is the problem. For ourselves, as we eat and drink and digest and grow and add to our bank accounts and are coming and going like the rest of the creation, we're mindful of the fact that none of this can satisfy. Because there's a problem. There's a problem even if we're dependent on God and say we're dependent on God. The problem is this. We're not with God. We don't have a life with God. And the Word of God itself is condemning us as we are in Adam, as we are in our sins, as we are with our mouth full, as we are with our bellies full, our cabinets full, our trophies on the shelf. and our bank accounts full. We need to have life with God. And so the very prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," designed for the children of God, is to remind them that they need more than the bread itself. Catechism alludes to this when it says we need the blessing of God for the bread to profit us. And that's not just so that the bread causes us to digest and we grow and we can live to 70. But it's so that there's a profit of the soul. So yes, indeed, there is something to this prayer that has to do with something more than the bread for Christians. Yes, it is in the way of praying for bread and having our needs met. But it is something more so that we're reminded of the fact that we live not by bread alone, but by what? By every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You see, Jesus in the giving of the bread and asking and demanding that we pray to God for it is reminding us that we are going to be led in this receiving of food and drink to a gratitude that is worthy of children of God, whose delight is fundamentally to be having a life with God. So Jesus himself said to the devil, when the devil said, "You can just have all the bread you want, Jesus. You can turn these stones into bread. And you're hungry." He fasted 40 days and nights, children. Then the devil came to him. And the devil tempted Jesus in his belly and in his soul. And he said, "Just turn the stones into bread." And Jesus riposted and said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." You see, there's another word than condemnation. It's the word of blessing. It's the word in Christ. That's what we're to be led to. That's why, exactly why, there was a great picture of the provision of God for body and soul in the manna that was provided to Israel, the manna. That what is it thing, that mysterious seed that went down from heaven in the night and graced the place and was like dew, and they'd gather it one day at a time. This is daily bread for them. But it was also daily Christ. It was something for them that reminded them in the mastication of it, in the chewing of it, in the resting in the sufficiency of it, that reminded them that their life was as the people of God. It wasn't just an ordinary life of bodies together. It was a life as the body of Christ. And this is what we're reminded of here. We need Jesus. He's the Word. We need the words of Jesus. And so, look at this. Peter reminds us, we are to grow and desire the pure milk of the Word, as those who are not only born, but born again. And you may grow thereby, if indeed you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Beloved, this is what we need to remember. As we consider the prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," don't you ever forget, beloved. You pray that prayer, you mean that prayer, but never leave off praying to God, "Give me this day my daily Jesus. Give me this day a word from heaven that He has spoken, and that He will speak to me and speak into my life today. Give me a word. Give me direction. Give me light for the soul. Give me something that fills and satisfies with the comfort that I'm forgiven. The gospel word. This is what I need to hear. Because I'm born not only God, but I'm born again. And I've tasted and seen by faith the realities of the other life and of the other home. In heaven itself." The psalmist in Psalm 34 was already directing us to taste and see that the Lord is good. To taste and see, not just by the lips and the tongue and the taste buds, but by faith, that the Lord is good. Something we so desperately need in the New Testament Christians. Let us see, as we receive earthly things, let us see and believe and taste that God gives us heavenly things in abundance. Let us see that He provides, and as much as we see Him providing earthly needs, so much more we see and believe that He provides things of the soul for us and for the congregation. In fact, Paul says that there is no other way that God provides for the Christians than this way. He's confident, Philippians 4, verse 19, that my God shall supply all your need, daily bread, according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 19. Now think of that. When Jesus is praying, or teaching us to pray, give us His daily bread, He would lift us to the great fountain of the bread and the grace that comes from heaven, from the glories of God by Christ Jesus that are there for us to be had and received because of His cross. This, beloved, is why when we hunger for bread and when we're praying to God for bread, we are hungering also for righteousness. For Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Matthew 5 and verse 6. We have this wonderful, wonderful life from above. This life with God, not only dependent on God, but with Him. That's why we're as Jesus, who in John 4 said, my meat, my bread is to do the will of the Father. That's exactly what our will is. And that's exactly why we eat and drink on this earth. When you're praying this prayer, beloved, give us this day our daily bread. Be ready. Have your loins girt about you. Be ready. May your motivation be with this bread. I want to serve the King. Because if I have bread and I become fat and lazy, I can't serve the King. I want to eat and drink and I want to be lean and mean. That is, I want to be ready to run the race. I want to be a Christian. With my time, with my talents, with my monies, with everything I have, with everything that my family has and the church has given, we would serve the Lord. Give us this day bread so that we can get up and serve you again and move on and be strong and be those people of faith in this earth who know that body and soul we shall be provided for even to the end of time. And so, it leads us to this. This prayer for bread and for grace is a prayer for dependency on God. It's a prayer for life with God. And it's a prayer for life unto God. Personally and together. And I want to leave you with this promise of Isaiah the prophet and chapter 25 and verses 6 through 9. Isaiah 25, 6 through 9. This is what we look forward to, beloved. In this mountain, speaking of a mountain of heaven, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of choice pieces, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, or well-refined wines on the lees. And He will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations, He will swallow up death forever. This is heaven. And the Lord will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of His people He will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. And it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. Beloved, this is a people who prayed for daily bread and received the daily bread and received the daily Jesus and the life with God and unto God from Him. That's you. That's the people of God's good pleasure, the children of God. Rejoice in this. God provides beyond what you could ask or think, even now, and also then in glory to come. As born twice, with two homes, here and heaven, and also as two nations in this country, but also as the people of God, let's remember this prayer. Let's remember all prayer and be constant in it. And may God answer. Amen. Lord, we thank You for the truth as it is in Jesus. We thank You for the the petition of for our daily bread, for the answers that you give. Bless us, Lord. The times are nasty. The times are ugly. The times are the times that try men's souls, even ours. And they tempt us. They tempt us not to believe. Not to believe in the God who provides. Not to believe in the great things of the grace of God, whereby He provides according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But we believe, Lord. You've given us faith. You've given us to be a people of prayer. You are our Father in heaven. And we pray, Lord, now, bless us with answers to our prayers that we make in the corporation of the body of Christ. Give us this day our daily bread and our daily lovely Jesus. We've tasted that you are good and gracious. And Lord, we want more. Oh, give us more. Give us more of the Son of God and of the sense, the wonderful sense of peace with you through Him. In His name we pray. Amen.